Ellie Bogue, welcome.
Hi, Julia.
Now that your impactful show, Humanitarian Aid in Haiti, is ready for viewing, congratulations. Would you tell us what originally inspired this whole project?
Well, thank you, Julia, and thanks for asking. In 1998, I went to Haiti doing a story with the New Sentinel on a medical mission trip, and it was really eye-opening and interesting, and I was looking for, you know, the next number of years for a way to get back to Haiti. And when I found out about a group at the University of St. Francis that was doing some similar things, a student group, that was when I really started pushing at the New Sentinel to get back down there.
Great, and they approved it, apparently.
Yes, although it ended up running in the Fort Wayne magazine, which was great because then we had a lot of color room and a much larger spread for photos, so that was a great thing.
That's actually a bonus all the way around.
Yeah.
Now, was that first trip your first international odyssey that you had been on in your career?
Yeah, in 98, that was. Since then, Haiti is really the place I'd been to a couple of times eventually, but I did go to Italy at one point as well, and that was more of a self-generated story.
So it got in your blood just wanting to go out there and get the big picture and the big story and
share
it with the world.
I've always had that wanting to be a globe-trotting photojournalist in me, but I chose, unlike some people who do that, to get married and have kids. So I became the local photographer because there are important stories right here in northern Indiana as well.
And so, Ellie, let's talk about Haiti itself. Potentially an island paradise, what was the vibe up close and personal that first time you got there?
The first time I got there was right after a lot of tension in the area, and it was tense. We spent a lot of time out of Port-au-Prince and avoided large cities. There had been some incidents, and so you just really had to be careful and stay with your group and follow what your guide said so that nothing happened. You're always kind of have an eye over your shoulder when you're there because things seem okay, but you just never know.
What about the people you encountered? How are they?
Honestly, the people that we encountered there were so warm and wonderful. They were so welcoming and generous, and they have so little. What we take for granted, food and water and clothing, that's something that, you know, people are looking for every day. They really are scratching out an existence. The majority of the population is.
As you were learning the culture, the people, the lay of the land, and of course taking all those pictures, were there surprises along the way?
Yeah, there were some surprises. I was just surprised at how poor it was and how polluted it is. Even in the countryside, you see trash everywhere. You see a lot of buildings that have never been completed. Even in this idyllic paradise, there's just this feeling of chaos underneath the surface.
That had to affect, of course, the people that you went there to photo document.
Sure. With the earthquake, so many people were killed, they left a lot of their kids behind. And the story that I pursued in 2011 had to do with a group from the University of St. Francis who was helping to sponsor an orphanage down there, and they were also doing some medical mission work.
Oh my goodness, so you really did have up close and personal chance to see for yourself firsthand, but also get it through the camera lens. Were you ready for that?
It was certainly a humbling experience. As a photojournalist, I've always followed the fly on the wall method. I've never been comfortable really staging photos. And so every photo that I shot pretty much was just as I saw it. And people can be so accepting of your presence, they eventually just kind of forget about you.
As a matter of fact, with that fly on the wall approach, as you call it, how free were you to get right up there as up close and personal as you possibly could to find these stories and to share them?
Very close. Medical-wise, the last time I was down in 2017, I saw a lot of things at a bush hospital that you just don't see up here. For one reason, a lot of the stuff that happens down there could have been stopped by preventative medicine. Also, you're in a tropical zone, and there are a lot of diseases we just don't see here. And I could get right in there and photograph some of that.
Incredibly impactful. Was language ever a barrier?
We hired translators because, you know, you have to find out what's wrong with somebody before you can treat them. So the group had translators, and every day several hundred people would line up at this hospital, and the translators would have to sort out, it was like triage really, figure out who needs what, who's more pressing than others, and so it was really interesting.
But what about the sociological issues? Was everybody pretty forthcoming? Of course, you were there on a medical mission, but you got out and about beyond just the hospital walls.
Yeah, we did some. Being with a Catholic student group, of course, we attended a church service one Sunday, and the whole village was pretty much there, and that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2011, when I was there, we actually went and spent some time in one of the villages, and that was very eye-opening. We had a family that we spent the whole day with, and, you know, no running water, just very limited, nothing like the United States. But the people were great, and what they had, they wanted to share with us.
Even the limited resources,
yes.
They have a good spirit, it sounds.
Yes, they do. That's they definitely do.
Incredible. And what about friendships formed with your subjects and the people that you were dealing with? Do you have any that are still active?
Well, definitely at the orphanage. Father Andre, who started it, he's, of course, always in constant contact with Formula for Life, which is this group at University of St. Francis. It's a students group, I should mention that. So we have a lot of contact with him. I personally got to know some of the orphans, and so there's one of them that after I got out of the newspaper business, I have ended up sponsoring. So I'm paying for his education up to college.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. And now that you have three distinct phases of story, going back to the original trip you made with the newspaper and then the two medical missions,
yeah,
how are you going to be tying them together for the show?
Well, basically, a lot of the pictures that you're going to see are from the work at the hospital, but some of it also is out in the villages. There's some portraits that I shot, which are not portraits in your typical, you know, line somebody up on a chair and have them pose for you. They're not posed photos at all. But there's some portraits of the kid, and there's some portraits of some of the regular citizens that are in the show. But a lot of it really is of the students from St. Francis going
in
through.
Action.
Yeah, in action. And they had alumni with them. So they had doctors who'd actually been previous students there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty neat to see them out and working as real doctors and actually teaching future doctors. So,
and in quite an intense situation.
I mean,
yes.
The kind of situation you probably aren't going to encounter in the United States.
No, that's really remarkable.
Yeah.
Now, I am curious, through all of your travels and connections and the things that you were doing here, were you ever simply overwhelmed by the subject matter at hand? And really, how did you handle that?
Well, if you sat back and started thinking about the living conditions there and what people go through every day, that is kind of overwhelming every day. And you realize how much, I mean, I realized how much I take for granted, you know, the food that we have here, the resources, the infrastructure, just being able to walk into a bathroom with a flush toilet is pretty amazing. And you don't have that there. Well, you do in some areas, but not
where
much.
You were.
It's pretty limited. And just being conscious of the water that you're drinking. It doesn't come out of the tap. It's not drinkable that way. And yeah, I mean, most of the group got sick. At least half of them were sick on the way home. Mm.
It was a lot to consider.
A lot to consider.
And of course, for you to document. So now that you're semi-retired from print journalism and news photography, what do you hope to do in Haiti if you do get the chance to go back?
This spring, actually, I had another trip planned with the group to go down there. And because of political unrest, we had to postpone it. But we do have plans already to go again next spring. The woman who organizes the student group, Amy Obringer, pre-medical program director at the University of St. Francis, and she said to me just recently that she has so many students that want to go on the trip that she actually has to turn people away now. So it's very popular.
That does sound unique and incredibly intense and meaningful.
Yeah.
In your case, you as a journalist, what does it do for you to know that you get to go back again now?
You know, I really like to go because I want people to know that there are places like this in the world and that we're so lucky here and we have so many resources. Really, you know, we have a lot to share and just a little bit of money sometimes can go a long way. There are groups that go out and help people in situations like this. Sometimes I think we forget how lucky we are and we could help.
Well, thanks to people like you, Ellie, we are reminded And so we thank you for taking these kind of pictures and for showing them in a venue like you are. Bottom line, I get the impact that you hope to make on your world here
right.
with these. What has this meant for you in the big picture of life to be part of this project?
As a documentary photojournalist, I really love shooting pictures of people in their surroundings, doing what they do, the way they do it, putting myself outside of my comfort zone and really going into an immersion when I go on these trips has produced for me some excellent photography, and I just really enjoy my work. That's why I love doing it. That's why I keep going back, and I hope eventually it might help some people.
Ellie Bogue is a freelance photojournalist and writer here in Fort Wayne, formerly with the News Sentinel. Ellie, thank you for making this incredible journey and, of course, for sharing your story with us. Continued good travels.
Thank you.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.